Tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Acharimos, and the title of the shiur tonight is Torah as the Lifeblood. So tonight, we're going to look at some psukim towards the end of the parsha, and there's an interesting phrase in one of the psukim that I want to analyze through the eyes of the Gemara, and there's a couple different ideas that emerge from this pasuk, so I wanted to look at this area. It was interesting. So we look in source number one, it's Vayikra Perek Yod Ches. We'll just read through three psukim. It says as follows: K'masei Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtem Ba Lo Sasu K'masei Eretz Kanan Asher Ani Meviyeschem Shama Lo Sasu V'Chukosem Lo Seilechu. Hashem warns the Jewish people that they shouldn't follow in the ways of the Mitzrayim, who are involved in Znus, and also they shouldn't do what the Kananim do. They should rather keep the Torah and the Mitzvos. They shouldn't follow in the path of these other nations. Dalit, it says, Es mishpatai tasu ves chukosai tishmeru alechas bohem, ani ad Hashem Elokeichem. Rather, the laws and the they should do, and the chukim, different types of laws they should keep, in order to follow them, I am Hashem, their God, your God. Ushmartem es chukosai ves mishpatai asher yase osam ha'adam v'chai bohem, ani ad Hashem. And you should keep the chukos and the mishpatim, the different laws, and that man should do, and he should live by them. Ani Hashem. I am Hashem. So really, the focus of the shiur tonight is the last pasuk in source number one, pasuk hey. And the pasuk, at the end of the pasuk, says, Ushmartem es chukosai ves mishpatai asher yase osam ha'adam b'chai bohem ani ad Hashem. So the Jewish people should keep the different laws in order that they shall live by them, for I am Hashem. What does that mean, in order that they should live by them? What is the Torah adding by saying b'chai bohem? So that's really what I want to analyze tonight in the shiur, and we're going to look at different sources, including the Gemara, where they learn out various ideas from the idea of v'chai bohem. So Rashi, in source number 2, gives us the pshat, and the pshat is actually interesting. In source number 2, look in Pasuk He, it says, Ushmartem es chukosai lirabos shar dikduke aparsha shelo prat hakosav bohem. So first he's explaining the idea of shmira of chukos, and the reason why the Torah is saying it again is in order to include all the specifics that the Torah doesn't say openly. Dover acher, another reason is litain shmira v'asiya l'chukim u'shmira v'asiya l'mishpatim. L'fish lo nasan el asiya l'mishpatim u'shmira l'chukim. And the other possibility is that the Torah wanted to attach the words of shmira and asiya to both chukim and mishpatim. So that's a separate idea that requires analysis on its own, but I don't really want to focus this shiur on that idea, that concept, but I wanted to bring down the Rashi, nevertheless. But the next idea is v'chai bohem. So what does it mean that they should live by them? It says as follows, l'olam haba. Rashi says in the next world, she'im tomar b'olam hazeh v'halo sofo humes. If the Torah is referring to living by Torah mitzvos in this world, so he's going to die. So Rashi says that when it says v'chai bohem, it's referring to eternal life, life in the next world, as opposed to life in this world, because our life is finite, and we're going to die, so v'chai bohem doesn't apply to this world, to this life. And the last Rashi is, Ani Hashem ne'eman l'shalem schar. So I am Hashem, and I repay schar, reward. So the Rashi is explaining that the reward for Torah is really living, and the idea of life is tied to Olam Haba, the life of Olam Haba. And the Tirgum, in source number 3, also has the same shot. He says, V'sitrun yaskiyami v'yasdini di'im yavid yason enasha yechai behon b'chai alma ana ad Hashem. So if you keep the laws and you do them, then people will live by them and they'll live in the next world. Chai alma is the next world, ana ad Hashem. So what's interesting is Unklus usually gives us the pshat. He's not really into medrash. So the pshat of the pasuk, according to Rashi and Unklus, is not that a person shall live their life by them, meaning in this world, but it's really the next world. So the question is why? What is that concept? Why should it be that? Because a person does live in this world. It's true that our lives are finite and we die eventually, but there is still life in this world. So why are they saying b'chai bohem is referring to the next world? Why is that the pshat of the pasuk? So there's two possibilities that Rashi and Unklus are, the reason why they're explaining the pshat this way and not as referring to living in this world with the Torah and mitzvos. So one is that the idea of chayus is lacking when there's misa attached to it. Meaning chayus in par excellence, the ultimate idea of life, is a life that lacks in death. It's a life that has no external cause of extinguish that would cause it to be extinguished. And the idea of a chayus that's eternal, the only idea of that is really Olam Haba. So when the Torah says v'chay b'hem, it's not referring to just the quality of chayas, of living. It's referring to chayas par excellence. The idea of chayas, of living, of life, without any restriction, without any misa. So that's what Rashi's saying. The Rashi's saying, if you learn the pshat of v'chay b'hem, what is the Torah referring to when it says chayas? It's referring to the ultimate chayas, the chayas that has no defect. And the chayas of no defect, the chayas which is ultimate, is eternal, is really the chaye olam haba. And ultimately, I think, Rashi and Unkelis are saying that the ultimate reward for the Torah is really not physical, but it's philosophical. And that's really the pshat. The pshat is that the Torah is really benefits man in a philosophical sense, far more than in a physical sense. And the idea of chayas, of man living, is an idea of eternal life, the life of olam haba. So I really think that that's the pshat of the pasuk. The pshat of the pasuk is teaching us that we should look at the value of halacha, of Torah, of mitzvos, mishpatim, and chukim, not in the framework of the physical, but in the framework of the philosophical benefit and the non-physical, in terms of how it affects us, and the real benefit and the real reward is the philosophical reward. And that's the idea that it expresses itself in Chai Olam Haba. But there's an expansion of this idea, or maybe a slightly different idea, in Rabbeinu Bachya. And I just wanted to go through Rabbeinu Bachya and explain what he's saying. So we look at the Medrash. Look in source number 4. He quotes the Medrash. And he says, V'chai b'hem, l'olam haba. Same thing as Rashi. He quotes Rashi and Unkelis. V'im tomar b'olam hazeh v'halo sofo meis. So if you want to say that it's referring to this world, ultimately a person's going to die. V'chein tirgum unkelis v'chai b'hon chai alma. So the Rabbeinu Bachya quotes Rashi Unkelis, and he says that the pshat is that the idea is that a person is going to live, and living by the Torah is a reference to the reward of an eternal life. And in order to explain it, it's referring to the true benefit of Torah, which is philosophical, it's not physical. But then he goes on, he adds his own twist. He says, V'inei minei ha-chayim l'guf u'nefesh v'maisa ha-mitzvos nechlokim l'arba chalokim. So there are different types of lives with regard to the person's body and their soul in doing the mitzvos, and they're split up into 4 different categories. Umilas v'chai kolalas arba'aton. And the idea of living by Torah mitzvos includes these 4 ways or methods of utilizing the Torah. What are they? Ha'echad misha mechavin ba'asiyas ha'mitzvah v'yasa osan amenas l'kabal pras. So the first category of a person who lives his life by Torah mitzvos is the category where a person keeps Torah mitzvos in order to receive a reward. V'holech bahem b'derech hasmol. He walks in the left, on the left path, not the right path. K'dei shi'alo bahen scharo osher unechasem v'chavod. He does it in order that in this world he gets kavod, he gets respect, and he gets wealth. K'dei shi'yichye yamim rabim, so that he'll live a long life. V'zeu shekasev b'smola osher v'chavod. So in Mishlei it says that a person who keeps the Torah in the left, on the left, will be rewarded with osher and chavod. Upirshu razal, Chazal explain, lamas me'ilim ba osher unechasim v'chavod. So those who are left in it, to the left as opposed to the right, is osher unechasim and chavod. So the first category of people who live their lives by Torah are people who view Torah as a means to an end, and the end is a physical end. The benefits are osher, wealth, kavod, and that's why the person keeps the Torah. And the source number 5, look, it says, Orech yamim biyamina, it's Mishlei, it's the pasuk, mismola, bismola osher v'chavod. So long life with the right and with the left, osher, wealth, and chavod, respect. So the Gemara in source number 6 says, based on, or Rabbeinu Bachya is quoting this Gemara, it says, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Zochin ledvarim shenemru biyamina shel Torah, de'amar rava bar Rav Shila, v'amrila amar Rav Yosef bar Chama, amar Rav Sheshas, ma'idichsev orech yamim biyamina, bismola osher v'chavod. So what does the pasuk mean when it says that a long life is with the right and with the left is osher and chavod? Ella biyamina orech yamim ika. With the right, there's long life. Osher v'chavod leka. Does that mean that with the right, there's no osher and chavod? Ella l'mayminin ba orech yamim ika. So l'mayminin ba is those who believe in it. Orech yamim ika. So there is long life, the chol shekein osher v'chavod, and osher v'chavod, l'mas me'ilim ba, osher v'chavod ika, orech yamim leka. But those who are mas me'ilim ba, who don't really take it seriously, don't really do it lishma. So they have osher v'chavod. They get wealth and chavod, but they don't get long life. So the question that we're going to take up, we're going to explain each category in Rabbeinu Bachya, but the question is, why is that the case? Why is it that if a person does Torah mitzvos and they're not really doing a lishma, they should be rewarded with osher and chavod? Why is that? How does that result? How does one result in from the other? What's the relationship between one to the other? And Rashi explains, Lamas be'ilin, by the last Rashi, he says, She'ein again behen kol tzorchan, because a person who does it, Lamas be'ilin ba, they're not really trying when they learn Torah. Inami ma'minin ba, oskin lishma, mas me'ilim shalo lishma. The other possibility is, to the right is a reference to a person doing it lishma, and the other is a person shalo lishma, like Rabbeinu Bachya says. That when a person, so the first category is that a person who lives his life by Torah, it means that he views Torah as a means to an end, and in the end he's rewarded. The Pasuk says a person who learns Torah shalo lishma, or even if they're not really, if they don't really care about Torah and they're kind of lazy when they learn, they're still going to be rewarded with the good in this world. They're going to be rewarded with osher and chavod, with wealth and kavod and respect. So the question is why? Why is that? Why is that the reward for a person who does Torah shalo lishma? I would think that if a person does Torah shalo lishma, they shouldn't be rewarded. Or why is that the reward for the person? So that's the question. And if you look in source number 4, go back to the Rabbeinu Bachya, and we'll just do the other three categories. So he says, Hasheni, it's about 5 lines down in source number 4, the second category of people who live their lives by Torah, Misha Mechavin Behem Kadeshi Yitol Schara L'Olam Haba, a person who still views Torah as a means to an end, but the end is Olam Haba. V'afal Pishu Mishtadel B'Kiyuman V'Oso Osan Shalol Lishma Al-Manas L'Kabal Pras L'Olam Haba. Even though the person is not really, he's only doing it because he wants the reward in the next world. Mikol makom nafsho zocha liyosham. So he still merits to get the next world. Shehu mishtado b'kiyu, sorry, shneimin en halalu amar navi lahachios ruach shfalem lahachios lev nidkan. So the navi references these two categories, and it means to provide life to those who are low and to provide life to those who are contrite. So Rabbeinu Bachya says that there's two categories of shalo lishma. The first category is a person who does the Torah for this world, and the reward is this world. And the second category is a person who does the Torah for the next world, which is also a low level, and he's rewarded with the next world. So we have to understand what this means. What is he referring to? What does it mean that they're rewarded? Why should they be rewarded in this way? Then the third category is hashlishi, misha mechavin bahem la'asosan me'ava. The third category of living your life by Torah, and it's going from low to high, is a person who lives their life me'ava. They do Torah out of love. Kedin u'charo'i shelo amanas l'kabal pras. They're not looking for any reward. Im iske olam hazeh, ze zocha l'chai olam hazeh, l'chai olam haba. A person who's not looking for any reward will get both this world and the next world. Ke'avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov she'avdu me'ava. Just like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who served me'ava, im askan binyanei olam hazeh, binyan zriyas ha'adama, gam avodas ha'mikneh, they were successful in this world, v'zulasam min ha'asakim ha'gufniyim, and they also were successful, aside from the physical, they're also successful, obviously, in the next world. And then there's a higher level than Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And ha'ravi, mishe mishtadel b'maisa ha'mitzvos, ve'eno mishtadel b'shum esek gufni. Person who's involved in mitzvos and Torah without any physical component or connection, ki ilu lo haya bal guf klum, as if the person has no body. Ela libo umachshavto b'kadosh baruch hu. The person is constantly thinking about Hashem. Hineu zoche ela chayim hakayamim. That person is zoche to an eternal life. Le'olam forever. Ve'lo yishlat alav misa klal. And that person, misa will have no effect on that person. Aval Yishov Eloki beguf of a nefesh kechanoch veliyahu. So they'll be returning. I think he's saying that the returning of the soul and the body, like chanoch and liyahu, shenistalku min olam beguf of a nefesh, who left this world with their guf and their nefesh. So he's saying Eliyahu and Chanoch were on a higher level than Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in terms of how they lived their life by Torah. So there's four different categories. So how do we explain the four categories that Rabbeinu Bachya is alluding to, and what does it mean, v'chai b'hem? What is that concept that he's trying to highlight? And why should you be rewarded in the first two categories? So I think that, obviously, the Rabbeinu Bachi is showing us that there's a progression in V'chai Bahem. There's a progression of how a person can approach Torah, and your approach to Torah will affect how you're rewarded. And that's what the Torah is teaching us, according to Rabbeinu Bachi. But according to the first way of learning, the question was, based on the Gemara, why should a person be rewarded for learning Torah Shelo Lishma with, for the purpose of this world, with Osher, Chavod, and Nechasim? So I was thinking about this idea, and I think that perhaps the Torah is not alluding or is not referencing the idea that there's hashgacha, divine intervention, but it's teaching us that when a person learns Torah, even if it's Shelo Lishma, and in order to get benefit in this world, a person is being trained to control your emotions, and a person's trained to control their mind and to analyze things in a deep way. So oftentimes, when a person is brought up with Torah and learns Torah, it also translates into potential success in business, in society, in the physicality, in osher and chavod. Why? Because the activity of learning Torah in itself, even if it's shelo lishma, is one which trains a person which trains a person's mind and a person's emotions in a way where a person will succeed in this world. Because if a person wants to succeed in this world, they have to really be able to analyze the situation in front of them. Where should I plant, for example, agriculturally? You know, let's say nowadays, what should I invest in? For example, what should I do? What should I work as? That's just part of the analysis. And also, controlling your emotions is a big thing also. If a person has to be able to, in business, to be able to not overreact and understand when their emotions are acting a certain way. So that's what Torah gives man. So even when a person learns Shelo Lishma, I think the Torah is teaching us that a person will be rewarded in this world with Osher and Chavod. Why? Because it'll train a person to think and to be able to have a personality that will translate into success in Olam Hazeh. So that's the first category. The first category of Shelo Lishma is a person who learns Torah for success in this world, but he will be successful because even if you view Torah as a means to an end, it still will help a person perfect his emotions and also control his emotions, and also will help a person analyze in a deeper way. And that'll translate into success. The second level is where a person actually understands that the benefit of Torah is not physical, but it's really philosophical. And the primary benefit is philosophical. And that's the second category. So even though there's a defect in the sense that the person only wants Olam Haba, they want the next world, but they understand that, at least they understand the idea of where the true benefit of Torah and mitzvot lies. And the benefit lies in the idea of how it affects man's soul and how it affects man's connection to Torah. So the second idea, the person might not benefit in this world because they're not focusing and learning Torah for this world, but they'll benefit in the next world because they understand and they'll focus their energies on gaining the philosophical benefit of Torah. So those are the two lower categories. Whenever you view Torah as a means to an end, you're living with Torah, v'chai b'hem, in a lower manner. You're using Torah as a means to an end. But there's two ways you can use Torah as a means to an end. One is by using it to almost train yourself to be successful, and the other is by using it in order to gain a philosophical benefit or philosophical insight. And those are two different methods, but they're both lacking. The third method of v'chai b'hem is the idea of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that a person really is naturally drawn towards mitzvos. And when a person has that, and when a person has a natural draw to mitzvos, the Rabbeinu Bachi is saying, a person will both benefit in this world and benefit in the next world. And the reason why they'll benefit is the same reason, because they will be trained on how to think, and they'll also understand, they'll also gain the philosophical benefits. So the person who's Oved Me'ava gains both aspects. And the last idea is the idea of like Moshe Rabbeinu. Although he doesn't quote Moshe Rabbeinu, the last idea is when a person learns Torah and views Torah in a way where they're really attached to it in a purely non-physical manner. And it's hard to describe this because we don't really come in contact with people like this. But the Torah describes Moshe's death, for example, as Neshika. And the Rambam explains that the death of Neshika is a death where there's a natural transition from this world to the next world. And really, your life is no different from this world to the next world, because the amount of energy you put into your guf, the amount of energy that you put into your body and your physical needs is minimal. and when you die, and when you move to the next world. So really, obviously, there is no physical. So the last idea of V'chai Bahem, the highest level of Chayas, is where you relate to the Torah purely in a non-physical way, where your life, and Torah is a lifeblood, as the title of the shir suggests, your life is really dictated purely by the non-physical aspects of Torah, and you place very little energy in the physical. You have no energy, you don't care. So that's the idea of V'chai Bahem, that's the ultimate V'chai Bahem, because your life is not really affected by death. It's as if your life is eternal. There's no misa anymore, because your life from this world to the next world is a smooth transition. There's no difference between this world and the next world to that type of person. So Rabbeinu Bach is explaining that when it says V'chai Bahem in the Torah, it's saying that there's different approaches to learning Torah. There's different ways to live your life by Torah, and there's a progression. And the lowest levels are the lowest levels where you view Torah as just a method to train your mind, like almost like a chess game. And then the second method, or the second level, is where you understand that there's a philosophical goal and a philosophical benefit. And the third level is where it's natural for you. It's natural to be involved in Torah. It's not something that you view as a means to an end. It's just something that you enjoy naturally. And you relate to it, approach it in a natural way. And the last idea is the person who lives Torah mitzvos as if it's primary. And the guf becomes secondary. It becomes minimal. So that type of person really lives Torah mitzvos eternally, v'chai bahem, because that type of person doesn't really experience death the way that we experience death. And the Rabbeinu Bachya says Eliyahu and Chanoch were those types of people, but obviously Moshe Rabbeinu as well was that type of person. So we have two different approaches to what does it mean to live by them. So again, we have Rashi and Unkelus, and they explain that v'chai bahem means that the ultimate benefit of Torah mitzvos is really in the next world, and the idea of chayas, of eternal life, is one where there's no misa, it's lacking any misa. And then there's Rabbeinu Bachya, who expands on the idea, and he says that really there's four different ways that man lives their life by Torah. And there's lower levels and higher levels, and he shows you the progression of how a person develops from a lower level to a higher level. That first, I mean, we do say mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma, so it's not a bad thing to learn shelo lishma, but the ultimate goal is to move from the lowest level of just viewing Torah more in a way of training you and a training program to viewing Torah as a philosophical benefit and then viewing Torah as a natural reaction, almost me'ava, out of love, which means it's natural. It's not something that you have to think about or you have to draw. You're just naturally drawn to it. And the last idea is where you place very little emphasis on the guf, on the body, and that's the highest level. So those are all the ideas of V'chai Bahem, different ways to live. So there's one other idea in Rabbeinu Bachya, and then we'll go to a totally different idea based on the Pasuk and another Gemara. But if anybody has any questions, just stop me, or if you want me to explain it again, if it makes sense. All right, so we'll move on. But like I said, always stop me if you have a question or if you want to add anything to the shir. So Rabbeinu Bachya in source number 8 adds one other idea. He says, Od matzinu arba mine chayim sha'adam zocha b'ham b'kiyum ha-Torah v'mitzvos. There are also four types of lives that a person merits with keeping Torah mitzvos. Ha'echad chayim k'derech b'nei adam sheim chayim b'hamsheches hazman v'nafsham mischayimes b'gufam b'asmadas b'yusam. So the first is natural life. Person lives their life through time, constricted by the guf. Their souls in their guf. So the second, Hashini, that's a normal life. Hashini chayim acharei acholi v'acharei higia l'mikra amavis. The second life is when a person experiences a near-death experience. Then after that, umin ze mechudash shel chayim mechudashim kedimyon kli yashan v'haboloish nischadish v'chazor l'schilaso. It's like you're an old kli and then you become new again. So when you experience death, it's almost like you have a new life afterwards. So it says ukeinyan shekasev iov. Rotafash Bisaro Minoar Yashiv Lime Olumov. So it means that your flesh will go back to your youth and you'll go back to the Olumov, to the eternal. Hashlishi Chaim Shel Slicha Achare Heyoso Rasha Shu Chashav Kemes. So the third type of life is a person who gets forgiveness after he was a Rasha. And who is like, it's like a Russia's Chash of Kames, like a dead person. And once he goes back to Tshuva, he's living again. And the last idea, Harivi Chaim Achar Amaves, that's the next world. V'hu Lashon Tchias Amesim, that's really living your life in resurrection of the dead. V'arba Minei Chaim Elu Nichlalim B'Milas V'Chai Bahem. So that's another, these four ideas are also ideas within V'Chai Bahem. So what exactly is Rabbeinu Bachya saying here? So I think he's saying slightly different categories. I think the other categories were how you live your life by Torah. And the way you live your life by Torah is how you approach Torah and how you view Torah, and that affects how you live your life by it. But here he's saying that V'chai Bahem is teaching us that Torah really provides guidance in all different situations of life. And there are all different situations where a person needs guidance. When a person, a normal life, obviously you need guidance in your life. And your zoche to the kiyum, through kiyum Torah mitzvos means that kiyum Torah mitzvos naturally gives man guidance in these situations. It guides you in a near-death experience. Afterwards, now you have guidance. It also guides you when you do tshuva. And the Torah guides you in Tchias HaMesim. It will guide us in the next world. So the idea of V'chai Bahem is teaching us that Torah provides man with guidance throughout different types of lives. Any situation, you can rely on Torah. You can use Torah and to benefit you and to provide you with guidance and to live your life by. So the second idea is not a concept of V'chai Bahem that you live your life with Torah, but it's the idea of Torah providing guidance throughout different types of lives. Through the life of the person who is a Rasha and comes back, the life of the person who, obviously in Tchias HaMesim, the life of the person who experiences near death, all these are experiences where a person feels anew and they need new guidance. So the second idea in Rabbeinu Bachya is V'chai Bahem teaches us that the Torah provides life. It provides a blueprint for life in all situations. So I think those are the two ideas of Rabbeinu Bachya. The first idea is that a person's life with Torah depends on their approach to Torah. And the second idea is V'chai Bahem, that the Torah is teaching us, is that also the Torah provides man with different guidance systems and different blueprints in all different aspects of life, in all different types of life. And there's different, he breaks it down into four categories based on the Pesukim, but there's different types of chayas. And the Torah is always zoche, creates a zechus, a merit in all these situations. Okay, fine. So I think that's I think we've exhausted that area. So now we'll move on to one other idea. It's totally different. It has nothing to do with the last concept. So the Gemara in Bava Kama. I saw this idea in the Torah Tmima. It's very helpful because the Torah Tmima quotes Gemaras based on the Pesukim. So this other Gemara I saw in the Torah Tmima. It's source number 9. It's Maseches Bava Kama Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, "Velo, is this not? This is not so." V'atanya. Rabbi Meir Omer, Minayin Shafilu Nachri V'Osek B'Torah Shehu Kinkoin Gadol. How do you know that a guy, a non-Jew, who learns Torah, is equivalent to a Kohen Gadol? Tamun Lomar Asher Yaseh Osam Ha'adam V'Chai Bahem. So they quote our Pasuk, and it says that which man does, and he lives by them. Kohanim V'Levim V'Yisraelim Lo Namar Ela Adam. The Torah doesn't say that which Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim live by them. It says Adam, man, humanity. Halamadata, what do you learn? Shafilu Nachri V'Osek B'Torah Harehu K'Kohen Gadol. This teaches us that even if a guy learns Torah, he is like a Kohen Gadol. So the question is, what does that mean? What does it mean from this pasuk that a guy who learns Torah is like a Kohen Gadol? Of course he's not. And in fact, the Gemara makes it harder. It says Amri, Ein mekablan alein schar kemitzuva va'osa ela kemisha einu mitzuva va'osa. D'amar Rav Chanina gadol mitzuva va'osa yoser mamisha einu mitzuva va'osa. The Gemara ends up explaining that a nachri learns Torah, he's rewarded like an einu mitzuva va'osa, like a person who's not commanded to do something and does it. Like almost a lot of cases of isha where a woman does something is einu mitzuva va'osa, which is not as great as a person who's mitzuva va'osa, which is a separate topic. So the Gemara ends up saying that even though a guy who learns Torah can be or is like a Kohen Gadol, it says he's not rewarded. He's rewarded on a lower level because he's an Eino Mitzuva Va'osa. He's not commanded to learn Torah like a Jewish man is, and therefore if he learns Torah, his schar is not as great. So the question that is obvious, I think, is A, what does it mean that he's like a Kohen Gadol? Why are we comparing a guy who learns Torah to a Kohen Gadol? And B, the question is, if he really is like a Kohen Gadol, so then what does it mean that his schar is less? Why is his schar less? And these are ideas. Look in source number 10 in the Tosfos. He says, Harehu k'Kohen Gadol. Hadin naka Kohen Gadol. So why does the Gemara say that a non-Jew who learns Torah from our Pasuk is like a Kohen Gadol, Mishum Didarshina Besota, because there's a Gemara in Sota where it says, Yikara hi mipninim. So the Torah is precious more than rubies. Mikohen Gadol hanichnas lefnai velefnim. But that's a reference, or it's an idea in the Kohen Gadol, who is nichnas lefnai velefnim. The Kohen Gadol would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim one day a year, obviously on Yom Kippur, and the Pasuk is referencing the Kohen Gadol. And Yikara is the Torah. The Torah is precious like rubies, but it's not rubies. It shouldn't be read as mipninim. Rather, it's the Kohen Gadol. The Torah is precious. Learning Torah is precious like a Kohen Gadol who goes lefanai velefnim. So we still have to understand the comparison, the connection between learning Torah and Kohen Gadol who goes to the lefnai velefnim. And the Gemara is looking Sota, so it's good to go to the Gemara itself whenever Tosfos quotes the Gemara. It says, "Ela Amarava kol abal eishes ish afil dimei Torah dechsev ba yekara hi mepninim mikohen gadol shenichtas lefayv nim hita tzudena lidina shalkanim." Anybody who sleeps with a married woman, even if they learn Torah, which it says by Torah that Torah is precious like rubies more than a kohen gadol who is lefanai velefnim, hita tzudenu lidina shalkanim. She'll still trap him towards the din of Gehenim. So the Gemara is teaching us a valuable lesson that a person who thinks that learning Torah is going to protect you in a situation like that, it's not. If you're involved in a riot like that, you sleep with a married woman, so no amount of Torah is going to protect you from Gehenna. That's what the Gemara is teaching us. But in that Gemara, it says that learning Torah is equivalent or greater than a Kohen Gadol who's nichnas lefanai velefnim. So what does it mean that the Torah, learning Torah, is greater than the Kohen Gadol who's nichnas lefanai velefnim? And then the last point is the Rashba. Look at skip to 14. He says, "Afilu hu gai v'osek b'torah harei hu kikohen gadol." Perish osek b'torah sheva mitzvos b'nei noach. A guy is not allowed to learn Torah in general, only the sheva mitzvos. Ka'amar aval b'torah shalema shalanu adaraba asur lo. So a non-Jew is not allowed to learn Torah. He's only allowed to learn sheva mitzvos. The chayv misa, and he's chayv misa if he learns Torah. Kiva al nara hamerasa dechsev Torah tziva lana Moshe morasha. And it's as if a person's bal nara marasa, a woman who's betrothed, because it says Torah tzivolana Moshe morasha, it's our inheritance, Torah, and it's not theirs. So, not only is a Jew not allowed, he's not allowed to learn Torah, he's only allowed to learn sheva mitzvos. So again, it's even stronger. What does it mean when the Gemara says that a non-Jew is osek in sheva mitzvos is greater than a Kohen Gadol, or is like a Kohen Gadol? And the last question is our question. How is he like a Kohen Gadol? Because he doesn't receive reward like a person who's commanded to do something. Rather, he receives reward as if he's not commanded. So what does it mean that a guy who learns Torah is like a Kohen Gadol who goes, or is even greater than a Kohen Gadol, or like a Kohen Gadol, who goes lefanai velefnim on Yom Kippur? So what is the reference? What is the idea here? So does anybody want to try a possibility? I don't want to just give an idea. So does anybody have a possibility? What does it mean that a guy is who learns Torah is like a Kohen Gadol who's lefanai velefnim? So lefanai velefnim on Yom Kippur is the idea of man getting as close as possible, or understanding the highest level of man's understanding of God. And in fact, there's an idea that I've mentioned in other shiurim that I heard from my Rebbe, that the idea of the Anan, the cloud of smoke that's created by the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh Kodashim, is the concept that when man tries to understand God, there's always cloud. There's always some type of lack of clarity. So the furthest we can get is the Kodesh Kodashim. That's the furthest that man can achieve in terms of understanding God, the Kodesh Kodashim, where God communicates with man, the Shechina rests. So the furthest that man can go is really the Kodesh Kodashim. But in the Kodesh Kodashim, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen is supposed to create a cloud of smoke. Why? Because he wants to demonstrate that we can't fully understand God, and even when we're at the closest possible place, or the makom of the Shechina, the makom of the Kodesh Kadashim, when the Kohen Gadol is facing the idea of God, so even then there's a lack of clarity, and that's why the Kohen Gadol creates smoke on Yom Kippur. But the idea of the Kohen Gadol going lefanev lefnim is that idea, is the concept of man's the furthest that man can achieve in terms of knowledge of God. And that's what it represents, and that's what it reflects when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kodashim. So with that idea, with that concept, the definition of the Kohen Gadol, going Lefanei B'Lefnim, now we can understand what the Torah is, what the Gemara is mentioning. It's the Gemara is teaching us that through learning Torah, a person can gain more knowledge and more insight into God than even the highest level of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol going Lefanei B'Lefnim, which is the concept of a person or of man achieving or encountering God in the, I guess, in the furthest sense, which is the Kohen Gadol on Kodesh Kodashim. So man can go even further through Chachma, through understanding God's wisdom. And understanding and learning Torah and understanding God's wisdom can take man further than the Kohen Gadol, can take man's understanding of God even further than the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, even further than that spot or that situation. Even a guy who learns Sheva Mitzvos, if he understands the concepts and he understands the philosophy and the Chachma, the wisdom behind the construction of Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, even that guy can achieve a greater understanding, a greater insight into the way God operates. And that's why he's compared to the Kohen Gadol, Lefanei B'Lefnim. It's a reference to the idea of insight into God, the furthest man can go in terms of understanding God. And Torah really gives man the tools to do so. So that's what that's why the Torah always mentions or relates the Chachma to Kohen Gadol, Lefanei B'Lefnim. Because it's teaching us that through Chachma, through learning Torah, man can achieve the greatest level or the closest knowledge of possible of God. And that's really the method, the tool. So that's what the Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh Kodashim reflects or demonstrates. And that's why we use it as a method of comparison and to teach us that learning is the primary tool for man to gain the furthest knowledge of God. And that's what Adam B'Chavahem, meaning any man can achieve that idea. Any man is capable of really having this great understanding and this great relationship, connection to God through learning, through using Torah as the method, Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach as the method. And the last idea of the Shir is V'chai B'hem, the last concept. There's a Mishnah in Makos, and it says that Asher Yasa Osam Hadam V'chai B'hem, in source number 15, Ha Kol Yoshev Lo Avar Avera Nosin Lo Schar Ka Osa Mitzvah. So this teaches, the Mishnah says that when a person is just, when he's just sitting around and he doesn't do an Avera, he gets a schar like a mitzvah, like as if he did a mitzvah. And we learned that out from B'chai B'hem. You just have to live by the Torah, meaning you don't have to do anything. You just have to live your life. And if you don't do an Avera, it's as if you do a mitzvah. So what does that mean? If you don't do an Avera, it's as if you do a mitzvah. And how do we learn that out from B'chai B'hem? So the last idea I wanted to express in this year is the Rambam on this Mishnah, the last source, in source number 17. The Rambam says, V'amru kol yoshev lo avar avera im haya efshar lo lasosa v'lo mena'o ma'asiyas osa avera shum monea klal ela hatzivoy hatarani kimo yosef atzadek v'chiyotzeva. When a person has an opportunity to do an avera, but they don't do it because the Torah commands us not to do it. So like Yosef, that's the person that the Mishnah is referencing. That when a person, let's say a person sees a cheeseburger and he has access to the cheeseburger and he chooses not to eat it, because the Torah commands us not to eat it. So that person, it's as if he did a mitzvah. It's not, it's v'chai b'hem. You just have to live your life and you don't do anything. But in that situation where a person doesn't do anything, he doesn't move, he doesn't act because the Torah commands us not to, so that person is as if they did a mitzvah. So what does it mean? The last question is, what does it mean that a person who lives their life doesn't do averos, it's as if they did a mitzvah? Why is it as if they did a mitzvah? So the last concept I just wanted to share is the idea that normally we think of an avera as creating a flaw or as reflecting a flaw. For example, if I eat a cheeseburger, it means that I have no control over my ability or my appetitive desire. If I am involved in averos, in arayos, then it means that I cannot control my lust. So the idea of preventing a flaw from emerging is how we normally think of averos. That I'm not going to involve myself in these activities because it's a flaw. And I don't want that flaw to emerge. I don't want to give in to that desire because that desire will create a permanent effect, which is a flaw within me. But usually we don't think of it as a positive. We think of it as a negative. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that when a person doesn't do an avera because the Torah is mitzava us, so it's not just the prevention of a flaw. but it also enhances our connection with the Torah. It also creates a positive relationship with the Torah. So the last idea is that if a person's just not doing an Avera because they don't feel like it or they're not hungry, so that person is just preventing a flaw. They're using one emotion to stop themselves from another emotion. So that's just preventing a flaw from emerging. But in a situation where a person doesn't do something because the Torah commands us, so in that person, it's not just preventing a flaw. It's actually creating a positive connection with Torah. And that's why it's ke'osa mitzvah. It's as if you did something positive. It's as if you put on tzitzis, as if you put on tefillin. Because by not doing it because of the Torah, you're enhancing your connection and your relationship of being bound by the Torah. And that's really a positive, not just preventing a negative. So that's the last idea of Asher Yaseh Adam V'Chabahem. You just have to live your life, meaning don't do anything, and you can still achieve a mitzvah, you can still achieve a positive connection with Torah by just preventing yourself, by reminding yourself that the Torah commands us from doing an Avera. So, with that, I just wanted to summarize the Shir. The Shir just really had three ideas. So it's important, let's just summarize quickly. So the first idea of V'Chabahem, which I really wanted to highlight in Rabbeinu Bachya, is the concept that V'Chabahem teaches us that there's different ways that we can live our lives by Torah, and it depends on our approach to Torah. And also, Torah provides us life in different situations, in all situations. In the situation where we feel renewed, in the situation where we do tshuva, the Torah, V'Chabahem teaches us that the Torah is a blueprint and a guide for us in all types of life, in all situations of life. So that's what's unique to Torah and mitzvos. It provides us with a blueprint to all situations. It's not limited to one situation in life. And our approach to Torah and the way we live it affects, you know, how we're rewarded. And that's the other idea in Rabbeinu Bachya. The second idea is to teach us that Adam, that man, any man, can really live by Torah, meaning that any man is capable of using Torah as a tool to gain the highest level of understanding of God. And that's why they're compared. Even a guy who learns Sheva Mitzvos but is able to understand as much as possible why the Sheva Mitzvos were created in the way that they were and what the philosophy and what the purpose is, that type of person, even if they're not Jewish, can gain the highest level of understanding of Hashem. He can gain even greater insight than the Kohen Gadol. That's why it's compared to the Kohen Gadol Lefanei B'Lefnim, because the Kohen Gadol going before God on Yom Kippur is considered the closest man can get in achieving knowledge of God. And the last idea is the concept of Asher Yaseh Osam V'Chabahem, that man doesn't have to act in order to be perfected by mitzvos. Just inaction is a perfection in itself. And the inaction of not doing an Avera, which we often look at as just preventing a flaw, is also a positive when it's guided by the Torah and mitzvos. When the Torah is teaching us, don't do something, and you don't do it because the Torah teaches us that. So that not only is preventing a flaw from emerging, but it also gives us a positive. It enhances our connection, our relationship to the Torah. So those are all the ideas that there's one other idea I didn't give in the shir, and I want to save for a different shir, and it's a big shir in itself. But the other idea of V'Chabahem is it teaches us that pikuach nefesh is docha all mitzvos except for the famous three, which is gilai ra'ah shvichus damim and avodah zarah. So that's the other idea of V'Chabahem, that we should live by the Torah, meaning that Hashem wants us to live and He doesn't want us to die. So even by Shabbos, we're supposed to be docha Shabbos for pikuach nefesh, because V'Chabahem, that it's the goal of Torah that we live and not that we die. So that's a separate shir, and so maybe a different year or a different time we'll give a shir on that idea of V'Chabahem. But there's a lot of Torah that emerges from this pasuk, this one pasuk. So I just wanted to share these ideas tonight in the shir, and I hope everybody has a good Shabbos. And if anybody has any questions, you know, feel free to ask.